This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
I'm Dave Kattenberg, and this is 12 Canadians Building a Better World from the Inside Out.
Encana fracked directly into my community's drinking water supply, as well as into the aquifers that supply my water well. It's one thing to have your water destroyed and too dangerous to even use to flush toilets, but the regulator and the government allows Encana to continue fracking where the fresh water is here. That's absolute madness. I'm Jessica Ernst, and I live at Rosebud, just on the outside of Rosebud, Alberta. I'm an oil and gas industry consultant with about 30 years experience working in the Western provinces doing mainly cumulative impacts assessments, environmental impacts assessments, community consultation. I have a bachelor's of science in environmental biology long before the word environment became a household word. And I have a master's of science in parasitology and pathology from the Vet College at the University of Guelph. I came out west and I got onto a seismic crew. The companies began to realize that I knew environment and agriculture, and so they started having me help them with problems where crews can cause contamination or damages on cropland. And I would go in and resolve the problems, work the negotiations of settling the damages that the crews had done. And some of the clients that I had, including one of the precursors to Encana, Pan-Canadian, they said, geez, we could sure use a lot of your expertise right now, but you don't have a master's of science and we need somebody with a master's. And I said, oh, well, I do have a master's. What? Excuse me? You have a master's? How come you never told us? I said, because you would have never hired me. So I started my environmental business. And of course, now everything is being slashed. Across the country, it's galling, and with me speaking out, I don't get work anymore. So pretty soon, I'll probably have to bankrupt the business. But I knew that when I resigned from Encana because of them lying to my community here about fracking. I knew that I would probably lose everything because of speaking out. It began with noise. It began with a traffic invasion, massive flares, incredible stench in the air, often law-violating, disrespectful, dangerous traffic. And one day in about 2004, in August, farmers came to me, as well as people in the hamlet, asking for help. And they presented me a document that Encana was trying to get them to sign. And they were trying to get blanket approval to be able to drill basically as many wells as they wanted to. But the farmers were getting suspicious about this. So they were asking, is this coal bed methane? Is this fracking? Is this all those problems they're having in America? And the landman was evasive, would lie directly, and the farmers began to get very suspicious. So I looked at the document, told them, yes, this is non-compliant. There's an Encana manager on here. I'm working for Encana at the time. I was working for them. So I said, I will go and call the manager and see what I can find out. I called him. He said, Jessica, if we can get everybody to sign this document, we don't have to consult with anybody. I said to him, but I'm a consultant consulting for you in communities to prevent exactly what's happening in my community. How can you say this? You have to consult. It's required by the regulations. So we talked quite a long time, and he finally agrees to have a public meeting. And I told him, tell the people here what you want to do. Albertans are probably the most oil and gas accommodating people in the world. If you let them know what they're doing, I'm sure they'll let you do it. And a week later, the same landman was back with the same lies and the same non-compliant document. Of course, the regulator was notified of all of this. The energy regulator did nothing. And Encana kept on lying and bullying their way through. And so this was now August. This was August 2004. And I realized I was being lied to, but so was my community. And I knew I had to quit. I had to resign from Encana. I did it in writing. I went for a long walk. I knew This was the end of my life as I knew it. I knew it was going to be atrocious and absolute hell, and that it has been. From the beginning, I didn't know what was going on. I think what I look at now in hindsight, hydraulic fracturing, not the stuff they did in the 40s and 50s, this new high pressure brute force experiment of hydraulic fracturing to get the last dregs out is an unknown. The companies have admitted that it's an experiment. They can't control the fracs. They go into the path of least resistance. Of course, nobody knows what that is underground. They keep promising communities everywhere that the impermeable layers protect everyone's water from gas migrating, but then they neglect to tell us that they're fracking the impermeable layers. So this was already going on in my community. I noticed a lot of noise. My fracked life began with noise. I had a very soft water supply. It was absolutely fabulous for cooking, making tea. Cleaning was fabulous for cleaning because it was so soft. And suddenly, soaps and shampoo no longer made any suds. Dish soap made no suds. I went to a doctor. I had this incredible caustic burn to my skin, raised rectangular rashes. And I went to my doctor, and my doctor said, "Have you changed to industrial soap?" But I hadn't, because the water's so soft. One packet of laundry soap or dish soap would last for years. Plumbing problems. One of the problems was there was so much gas in my water, but I didn't know it. It was forcing my taps open, and my taps were whistling really loudly like a train coming.
In January of 2005, the municipal water reservoir blew up in an explosion here. I wrote a letter to our chief medical officer of health with grave concerns that the people in Rosebud are living in an explosive risk. They found indicators of kerosene range petroleum distillates in the water. That's not natural. They found alcohol. They found phthalates. And the people are still using the water. The babies are being bathed in this water.
At the time of my banishment, I call it my banishment. The regulator said that I now no longer have energy regulation. They basically wrote me a letter saying, "You are excluded from regulation in Alberta." They wrote a very nasty letter, aggressive, saying that they had ordered their staff to have nothing further to do with me. And they did this, I believe, to intimidate me into silence because I was speaking out, but also to prevent me from finding out that Encana had fracked our water supply. I didn't know they had done that yet. I knew at the time something strange was going on with my water, but I believed the lies. I sent a letter to them to ask for clarification. They returned my signature-required express post. They returned it to me, refused by addressee. And this is a public energy regulator, partially paid for by taxpayers in this province. The other part is paid for by industry. So I realized they take this very seriously. They are not allowing me to communicate with them. So that prompted me to start researching. And then over a period of years, I began to find out that numerous communities in Alberta had been fracked in secret. I believe they did it in secret because they knew no healthy community, even in Alberta, would allow this to happen without a huge fight. Probably a week or two before I received this banishment letter from the energy regulator kicking me out of energy regulation, I had taken samples of my water to a lab because a geologist, I had been telling him about things that were happening. And he warned me that I was probably living in an extremely dangerous situation. I should not even be in my home. He brought me a methane detector to live with, showed me how to use it, test the water. So I tested the water, took the samples to the lab, and I went on a speaking tour in the Yukon to warn First Nations about fracking and the coal bed methane because they wanted to do it up there. And I came home to this banishment letter. And then I found out that the lab said, we have your results, we're sending them to you. A journalist from the Edmonton Journal wanted to interview me. The contaminated water, they came and took photos of it igniting and exploding. And it was on the front page of the Edmonton Journal the day that I received my refusal of my letter from the energy regulator, refusing to communicate with me. And also we had, when that journalist came, the data from the lab arrived in the mail and we opened it together, and I was living with extremely explosive levels of methane. It wasn't just my well. I tested two other water wells in the community, and they too had dangerous explosive levels of methane.
So this is a hose to the water well because I don't feel safe filling it in the water well room. So I've now filled the jug and I'm putting the lid on the jug.
I'm Jessica Ernst, Rosebud, Alberta. And we're in the barn where the water well is, the contaminated water. And I'm going to see if the water is still flammable.
Whoa.
That's what it does usually.
This is your well water.
Yeah, and now we'll do the first 1 gallon jug.
A little jet of blue jet flaming out.
There's methane and ethane in the water. And of course, Encana won't disclose what other chemicals they might have injected. So there could be methanol, who knows what else there could be. Going to light another match.
Like a little rocket.
Yeah, when George Bush was president, George W., I figured he could have saved a lot of money. He could have just used my water for rocket fuel.
That was the most powerful of all.
That's what they're usually like. But my hands are really... I'm too tired.
I mean, is it dangerous to drink this?
The government testing found evidence of petroleum distillates. There's phthalates. There's also tert-butyl alcohol. I won't have this in my home because I don't know what I'm breathing. Now, just to give an understanding of chronology, Encana had fracked our drinking water supply in March of 2004, but in secret, so I didn't know. So now we're in the fall of 2005. One person sent me the data on the Encana well that perforated and fractured right into our drinking water supply. This is atrocious to me because it looks like Encana was diverting fresh water from our aquifer to the tune of 8,000 liters a day. Under the Water Act, a company must obtain a permit to do that. So I did a Freedom of Information search for all the permits Encana had in the community. They didn't have a permit for that. So they broke the law there. So I asked experts, am I reading this right? This is so bad what they've done. Yes, that's what they did. That took time. December 2007, we filed the first statement of claim. We knew very little at that time, but we had to file to preserve my statute of limitations for the charter violation by the regulator. I am suing Encana for contaminating the water here, for unlawful activities. I'm suing the regulator for violating my charter rights, and I'm suing the Alberta government as Alberta Environment for also doing that. The delays went on and on and on. Finally, we have a court hearing set for April of 2012 in Drumheller. Drumheller is a small town about 20 minutes from Rosebud. The damages happened here. Legally, cases are to be heard where the damages happen. So then we went into another series of delays. So the hearing happens January 18th, 2013 in Calgary, which is not the place where legally it should be. And the courtroom is packed. The energy regulator wanted everything struck, my case thrown out, because they say they're completely immune from anything. They can basically do anything they want. My charter rights had no bearing. I don't have any charter rights because they judged me a terrorist. Incana filed nothing. This happened on January 18, 2013. On February 18th, the Harper government promoted Justice Veltois to the Court of Appeal. Alberta's Chief Justice, Whitman, volunteered to take over. His judgment just came down. He's given the ERCB complete immunity. Even for violating my charter rights, he admits in his judgment they did breach my charter rights. But he says the provincial immunity gives them total immunity. So I'm appealing the violation of the charter rights. I am appealing the no duty of care. The judge said, yes, the regulator owes the public a duty of care, but not any individuals. But you are a part of the public. I am the public. We all are the public. I wasn't even in the courtroom on January 18th. I boycotted my own court hearing. I attended my hearing in the waiting room of the courthouse where legally the hearing was required to be. The courtroom in Drumheller on January 18th from 10 to 4, the hours of the hearing. I went in and I went to the court clerks and I said, I am Jessica Ernst. And they said, wait a minute, you're Ernst versus Incana. You're supposed to be in Calgary right now. And I said, no, I'm not. Everybody is supposed to be here. The court hearing is required to be where the harm took place. And Canada's frack trucks were fracking here. There was a rig on my, just south of my property, within 400 meters of my damaged and dangerously contaminated water well. My water's too dangerous to even use to flush toilets anymore. It's disconnected from my home. And my court case has been wrongly moved to Calgary. And yet I have Incana trucks near my damaged water well when Incana lawyers are saying, we won't drive to Drumheller. So the case is moved. I said, I am standing and will attend all day where the case is required to be. We spent the whole day in the courthouse. We went for lunch. We walked Magic because Magic was in the truck. He came along. We were quiet. And my witness told me at the end of the day it was the strangest day she's ever had in her life. In the afternoon, because of course a courthouse is a busy place, people paying tickets, people coming in, appointments, lawyers, some in suits. And suddenly an RCMP came in, and I thought, uh-oh, they've been sent to arrest me. I didn't look at him, and I thought, oh, please just let me be able to finish my stand here today. And suddenly he says, are you Jessica Ernst? And I looked at him, and he was so excited I couldn't help but smile. He says, aren't you supposed to be in Calgary today? Aren't you Ernst versus Incana? Like, the court hearing's happening right now. I said, yes. I am Jessica Ernst, and yes, the hearing is in Calgary, but it's supposed to be here. I stand up and shake his hand, and he is so excited. So I stood and talked to him, and he said, my mom and dad live south of Camrose, and somebody fracked there in 2002, and their water was contaminated. It tastes like metals, and it bothers your skin when you bathe in it. And he said, they love you. They love what you're doing, and they want to do something, but can't. They don't have the ability to do what you're doing, and they see your lawsuit as their lawsuit. And I said, well, my lawsuit is everybody's lawsuit. So we're at, we're a couple miles now southwest of Rosebud, and I'm on my way to get a load of water. I have to go about 45 minutes to get water, and we're just looking at a location where, for years since the fracking began, Incana had open pits. They were unlined. The government and the regulators refused to compel any of the fracking companies like Incana, Quicksilver, Imperial, none of them have to disclose. And Canada's own research in 2005 in the southern part of the province found barium, arsenic, strontium, mercury, chromium in their drilling waste. The chromium in my water after Incana fracked the aquifer went up by a factor of 45. The Yeah, I'm Jessica Ernst. I live just west of Rosebud, Alberta, and we're on our way to Rosedale, which is about 45 minutes away for me to get a load of water to drink and bathe in. My water is way too dangerous to use, even to flush my toilets. What we're looking at right now is a new well that's been fracked, and there's a flare there. And as we drove here, we can't see it right now. I mean, we can see the big orange flare, but as we were driving towards here, it was putting off a lot of black smoke, and they're not supposed to do that because, of course, that's pretty toxic. But, of course, there's homes all around there. There's homes and farms, and there's cattle that are breathing not only whatever products are being burned that have been brought up from underground, but the chemicals that have been injected.
What sorts of chemicals?
Benzene. Benzene's a known carcinogen. Toluene's a neurotoxin, extremely dangerous to the brains of humans, especially developing children. They found toluene in the Rosebud drinking water.
And Alberta Health says this is not our jurisdiction.
Yes, I've written them. I wrote them with some of the studies coming out in America where they have found Dr. Lisa McKenzie at the Public School of Health in Colorado. She found increased risk of cancer living within half a mile of one of these sites, the drilled or fracked sites. And Alberta Health wrote me back and said, oh, thank you for your email. This is not our jurisdiction. Go to Alberta Energy. And then they know that I'm suing the regulator. They said, oh, and if you'd like more assistance, contact the Alberta regulator. Well, that's ridiculous because they help nobody. We're at the Drumheller Oil Field Waste Management Facility by Newelta. Every time I come through here, the public road is always wet. It has not rained for days. And I believe what's happening is there's so much waste produced from hydraulic fracturing of unconventionals, they have nowhere to put it. They don't know what to do with it. But our roads are often sprayed. When truckers are stopped and questioned or photographed, they get pretty cagey. They don't like to answer questions. The county, when they're given samples of this product, will do all kinds of tricky things to avoid proper testing and disclosure of what these products are. And Canna will loudly say and boastfully say, it's rainwater. I don't see any rainwater that would be accumulating on a facility like this. I think what they're doing is using the public roads to get rid of their toxic waste.
So you think we're standing now on fracking fluids that have been sprayed on the road?
Yeah, possibly radioactive. One time I came with some people and we drove through and it was a hot summer day, had not rained for weeks. This road was slick wet. My truck, of course, accumulated the material underneath it and on the sides of it. And when I got home, I parked for a few days. I wasn't going anywhere. And I noticed that there was discoloration on my driveway that lasted months, even after numerous rains. What are those chemicals? Was it diesel from fracking fluids? Kerosene? I don't know. A rancher that we just talked to yesterday, he talked about a neighbor of his, the frack waste was just dumped in a field where his hay was. I've seen the drilling waste dumped right near Rosebud on grain land. I told the person in Michigan, we're going to eat and drink the waste. They're going to put it in our food and they're going to put it in our water. I'm Jessica Ernst from Rosebud, Alberta. And we're now in Rosedale, about 45 minutes drive northeast to get potable water.
Northeast of where you live?
I'm northwest of where I live, that's right. Yeah, my water's too dangerous now to even have connected to my home or to use to flush toilets. So I'm getting some money. Here we are in Canada, world's greatest supply of fresh water, except for those that are fracked. Everything I have in my life, all my savings, all my assets are being sold. Everything I have is being sold to pay for legal fees. So everything that I live on now has to be done extremely economically. This tank cost me $200. It was $50 for the attachments At Rosebud, I had to get a long hose and more attachments. The government paid at my home. I had to give up my laundry room, and the government paid for two 450-gallon tanks to be put in a room in my basement. That cost $5,000. I would like to challenge all Canadians to make, to use only 900 gallons of potable water for bathing and drinking and cooking for 4 months. That's what I do in the wintertime. I make 900 gallons last me 4 months. We're in very serious trouble. In Alberta, we've basically given the water to the oil and gas industry now. People are going to become shocked when they find out they won't have water for bathing. It's one thing to have contaminated water. It's an entire thing altogether when you have no water. Fractivist, activist, protester. Those words are used to marginalize ordinary people, mothers with children, grandmothers, grandfathers. I'm an ordinary Canadian doing what I believe needs to be done. For a dollar, we got to about 140 gallons, and now I'm going to put the next loony in and get the next 40 gallons. And then when I began speaking out, I had people come to me telling me I'm not a man, I'm not allowed to talk to the press, I'm not married, I have to keep quiet, I have to stay obedient. And I had people say that Landman had come to them telling them that I am destroying all their family's prosperity and will destroy the oil and gas industry all by myself. Yeah, I wish I were that powerful. And they came ordering me to stop. They came ordering me to shut up, to lie to the press and say that I had lied about Encana fracking the aquifers. I said, I refuse to do that. Premier Redford, where is she? Premier Stelmach, where was he? Premier Ralph Klein, where was he? All of them were vacant. At least Ralph Klein promised all affected families. The government knew they had failed us. Not just here, in Wetaskiwin, Spirit River, Pinoka, lots of communities had this happen. And we were promised whatever needed to be done would be done, is what Premier Ralph Klein said in 2006. That promise was violated. British Columbia is being fracked. They want to frack Vancouver Island, Nanaimo, Campbell River, they want to frack. Saskatchewan, they're already fracking. Manitoba, they're already fracking and dumping waste. They're dumping waste in Saskatchewan and Alberta, British Columbia, telling the farmers it's free fertilizer, but they don't tell them about all the metals and the toxics. I have told communities, the only way you're going to protect your water and health and families and communities is by not letting fracking in. The seismic helps them pinpoint the sweet points. Once they start, legally they can go to any court and say, well, we've put this money into the community. We legally are entitled to our return. The only way to stop this is to prevent it from starting in the first place.
All right, so we're done. Now I'm going to get, close these up. The other thing that's really hard for me is with my bad hands, it's really hard for me hauling these jugs around.
One of our greatest assets, as Einstein told the world, is our imagination. You can make important impacts, massive impacts. Go back to the way community took care of community. Everybody needs to figure out what works best for them, what they're comfortable at. The start, I believe, is if people in Alberta en masse spoke out about the pollution that has happened and the gag orders they've signed for money, hydraulic fracturing would come to a dead stop in Alberta.
You've been listening to 12 Canadians building a better world from the inside out. Learn more about Jessica Ernst's quest for environmental justice at greenplanetmonitor.net. Huge thanks to the Social Justice Fund of the Canadian Auto Workers Union for their generous support. Thanks as well to CKUW, University of Winnipeg Radio, and CFUV at the University of Victoria. 12 Canadians is created by Earth Chronicle Productions, Winnipeg, Canada. I'm Dave Kattenberg. Bye for now.